All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and my wife, Katie, happy birthday, 26th birthday, amen, praise the Lord. And we're going to go ahead and get started with some hymn worship, singing songs and spiritual songs as unto the Lord, amen. Spiritual songs as unto the Lord. All right, church, let's go ahead and turn in our red hymnals. For those of you that are watching online, we're going to be in the red hymn today. And the first song that we're going to sing is page 219 in the red hymn. Page 219 in the red hymn, Little Is Much. Amen. Little Is Much. 219. Let's go ahead and worship God together. Amen. Oh, let me go ahead and turn down here. Oh, it's my pickup has unfortunately broken. All right, page 219, little is much, amen, when God is in it.
In the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Amen. Good singing. On the two.
Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it and he'll not forsake his own. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Amen. On the third.
Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is won, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good singing. How many of you guys know that when the Lord's in it, it's a big deal, and it means a lot to him. So just keep being faithful. You got a small church, be faithful. You don't got much money, be faithful with it. And it doesn't matter if you're older now and you can't do physically much for the Lord. You can pray. Amen. You're still alive. You can still talk to God on behalf of those that physically may have the opportunity to do things that you can't. Amen. All right, friends. What's the next song here? Page 507. 507. How many of you guys know that Jesus Christ is the fount of life? Amen. He has promised rivers of living water to flow from your heart. Amen. On the one.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune thy heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song and sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
On the two.
Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help to come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, here to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood.
Amen. On the last.
And oh, to grace, how great a debt, or daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, guys. What's our next hymn here? Next hymn, Blessed Assurance 506. Blessed Assurance 506 in the red hymn here today. Blessed Assurance. Amen. On the one.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. On the two.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Nonetheless,
perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good singing, church. Good singing. All right, everybody. Let's go ahead and stand together and greet one another in love. Amen. Fist bump, hug, do whatever you want to do, as we get ready for some Announcements. Praise the Lord. Some announcements. We want to thank God for those of you that are tuning in and watching us online. Brother, it's good to see you, man. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and we want to thank God for those of you who are in-house. We want to thank God for those of you who are visiting in person and those of you that are watching online. We pray today that the Lord will bless you. And hope you guys tune in for the remaining of this message. Amen. So there's a lot of love here, and thank you for coming on back.
This is my story. All right, as we continue to fellowship, I'm going to turn my attention to the online crowd. For those of you who are online, thank you all for joining us here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. As we continue to fellowship here at Simple Faith Baptist, we're going to go ahead and focus on the online crowd here. All right, so for the online crowd, if you're new to our homepage, this is Simple Faith Baptist Church, Oceanside, California page here. And I'm going to go over these tabs from left to right, the calendar tab starting first. If you want to continue to keep up with us here at Simple Faith Baptist, we have a calendar here that lets you know current, future events that we have going on here in case you would like to fellowship or be of any help or be a blessing or just join us or you need a need. These are specific times here for any changes to the regular schedule. All right. So please take a look at this for any changes. Other than that, on the homepage here, our regular schedule is posted on the right side. Every Sunday at 1, we do a 30-minute class, Sunday school class. We're currently finishing up the book called here by Brother James Knox, Fascinating Truths. All right, this book is solid. I learned a lot this morning. And we're finishing that book up, and then we're going to start into the book called Signs and Wonders, Signs, Wonders, and Miracles by Brother James. And it's going to be a blessing because you want to continue to add to your faith knowledge, and that's a good way to do it. By hearing the preaching of brothers who have been doing this, putting in laboring for 40 years plus, Brother James. Got a lot of respect for that brother there, and we thank you for your work, Brother James. All right, and then what we do is take a 15-minute break, and we go into Sunday service at 1:45, where we worship God in spirit and truth, and then we go ahead and give a quick announcement for the online crowd, which I'm doing right now, then we get into the Word of God, all right? And then our Wednesdays, we have a Wednesday midweek service. Again, going throughout the week, you want to be able to come back and to gather together. You can't exercise what God has given you by meeting the needs of the saints if you're not gathering. So we gather again on Wednesdays, and we have another service there. And after that, Friday, we have a Friday night discipleship class. And that discipleship class consists of learning how to rightly divide the Word of God. Because obviously, if God tells us we need to rightly divide the Word of God, then that means we can mistakenly or purposely wrongly divide the Word of God. So we're going through this book right here called One Book Rightly Divided. And we're also going through this book right here, which is called Understand the Scriptures, all right? One by Brother James Knox, Understand the Scriptures, and another by Andrew Ray. Both solid brothers can help you learn how to rightly divide the Word of God using Scripture to prove it, all right? So that's our regular schedule there. Any changes from the baseline will be on the calendar tab, as I mentioned before. So moving right along, let's go to this prayer tab here. It's one of the most important, if not the most important tab here, because, again, God tells us to pray without ceasing. We shouldn't take it for granted, the opportunity that we have to pray for one another. So please pray for me. I need to pray for you all, and let's continue to pray for each other. All right? The way you do that here, if you submit the prayer request on the right-hand side here, you can put praise report, something that God has been doing in your life, or just ask for prayer, and we can pray for you as a church. All prayers will be public. If you don't want it public, let us know. We'll know about it, but it won't be on a public page. Other than that, when you post it...
Can you read that recent prayer request?
Amen. And like Brother Carlos was saying, this recent prayer request right here, I'm going to go ahead and read this for y'all. So... we have the title, Terminal Colon Cancer, are submitted by Kim Rankin, all right? And he states, "Hi, I have a prayer request. My name is Kim, and I have terminal colon cancer and on oxygen and bed fast for a year. I am at the end if life so will be going to meet Jesus soon. Praise God. Please pray. I am not scared when it comes to my time and all I'd prayer. Yeah, as to will close my eyes down here and wake up in Jesus' arms up there. God bless you, Kim." That is solid. And you know why it's important? Because just like when Paul the Apostle was going through all the persecution, the imprisonments, right? He didn't trust in his flesh that he would, you know, because again, he possibly, just like he did, he could have died even sooner, but he trusted in the Lord and the resurrection. And I just want to thank you, Kim Rankin, for putting that there, because we're going to pray for you right now for your salvation. We believe you're saved. And we want to pray for you, for God to give you comfort, if not, if healing, if possible. And we want to do that right now. So if the church wants to join me in prayer for Kim Rankin. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just want to pray for Kim Rankin right now. God, God, you see what he's going through, the cancer. God, I don't know what it's like, but I've seen it and help from my grandparents, God. And I just ask, God, that you would comfort him, God. Please have mercy on him, God. I don't know what type of pain he's going through, God. I just pray for mercy on him, God. I pray for his salvation, God. You know it's only by your grace through faith that he from the heart has believed on you, Lord Jesus Christ. And God, you're faithful to your word, God. So I thank you for his salvation, God. And I just pray for comfort, God. I pray for the family that will be affected by this, God, that you will comfort them and give all the doctors and the family, all that's who's helping them, wisdom and the love for him to continue to take care of him and to help him along the way, God. If you would, God, I know you can, if you would heal him, God. But ultimately, we know that this body is dying. But we thank you, God, for your promise, God, of life eternally with you, God, and a place in heaven, God, and a spiritual body according to your pleasure, God. So please comfort him in these times, God. And I pray this, and we all say in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, it could be, I'm sorry, Kim Rankin, it could be her too, sister or brother. But we definitely care for you, and we want to, continue to keep Kim Rankin in prayer. All right, so with that being said, let's go ahead and finish up these last tabs here, and we're going to get straight into the Word of God, all right? So we already went over current and future ministries. Only addition I want to add to that is on Saturdays. Saturdays at 2 p.m., we meet here at the church. We meet here so we can grab our signs, our scripture signs and our flyers, and we come together and pray. And what we do is we go out to the Oceanside area and we do what the Lord has called us to do as ambassadors, which is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world who needs to hear it. Because, again, you know, sometimes the soil is hard. Sometimes, people don't want to hear it. Hearts are hard. But you know what? You continue to preach, do what the Lord has told you. And even if one soul gets saved, heaven rejoices. So we want to continue to do that every Saturday at 2 p.m. Please contact us up. Contact us. We can move those times, shift them right or left. Please join us, because that is what Christ has called you to do. All right. So live stream tab here is just basically how we're just getting the getting out to the world. If you're not physically here, which is Facebook, we have a Facebook page, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and we have podcasts. So please utilize those if you can't physically make it here, so we can continue to help minister into you godliness. Amen. All right. So let's go ahead and go to this Bible study tab and then online giving to finish it off. So for the Bible study tab, here's a tab for just for everybody to be able to learn from these brothers. We have brothers who can give a solid history of the Bible. We have brothers who can rightly divide the Word of God. And I think all of them are capable of doing just those things and more. So please utilize this tab here if you want to continue to add to your faith knowledge. We're not the only Bible-based preachers, praise God for that, but there are few, and out of these few, they are solid. So please utilize this Bible study tab here, and it's just for you, to bless you, all right? And then lastly, online giving. It's between you and our Lord Jesus Christ. We just make it available. If you would like to give to Simple Faith Baptist Church, it's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, everything goes to scripture signs. It goes to the flyers, obviously having a place to worship, things like that, all for the ministry and serving our Lord Jesus Christ. So you just follow the steps there, and it's as simple as that. All right, so with that being said, I welcome up Brother Carlos, and get ready for the Word of God, church.
Amen. Thank you for Brother Quamain. All right, Brother Quamain. Amen. He's getting a lot more fans. Praise the Lord, brother. He's winning on the stats, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, friends, let's go ahead and do what we do best. Get into that Bible, Romans chapter 11. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter number 11. First of all, we want to thank God for our visitor. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother, for visiting with us. We hope and pray that you are edified by today's teaching. A little different than our neighbors next door, but hope today that the Bible will ultimately be encouraging to you of how we teach. And for those of you who are returning, thank you guys for coming to church. Brother Ron in the house. And thank God for those of you that are watching online. We're going to continue in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Romans. For those of you who know, here at our church, we believe the best way to learn the Bible is to go book by book, verse by verse, line upon line. Amen. And today, in this particular chapter, just to refresh some of you guys who are not as familiar, or for those who are still learning some basic doctrines as it pertains to God's dealing with man in general, the church, and the Jews, Romans chapters 9 through 11 is predominantly dealing with God's future purposes for the nation of Israel. So we're not really going to see a lot of things as it pertains to you as a Christian, as a church, although we do have some tad bit nuggets in there for us. Romans chapter 1 all the way through 5 just tells you this is why you're a sinner. This is why Christ came to the earth. He died for your sins to save you. And it's by grace through faith that you're saved. You have peace with God through Jesus. It gives you the whole layout as to the need for man to be saved and the new person that can come about in your life when God saves you. You have two natures now. For those of us that are Christians, we have the new man and the old man. The old man was your first birth from Adam. Doesn't care if you're black, white, green, anybody in between. You're a sinner because you've inherited a sinful nature. But after you got saved, you became born again. You have a new man in you. And the reason why there's still sin within our lives, Romans chapter 6 through 8, is because the old man and the new man, we still have desires of the flesh, but we have a new desire in the spirit to do good, and they're constantly at war. So what's going to help you to grow spiritually today is to walk after the spirit, the new man. Amen. There you go. So keep on doing the new man walk, not the old man walk. So then once we get to chapter 9, like I said, the focus shifts from the good news about you being saved, being the Christian, fighting against the sinful flesh. The Holy Spirit here through Paul the Apostle is going to give us a history lesson as it pertains to God dealing with the people of Israel and the future plan and purposes that he has with them. And so that's what we're studying, just to give you a refresher. And when you do get a chance on your own time, go back to chapter 11 and read from verse 1 to kind of catch you up mentally. But what we're talking about here is we're going to start here from verse number 23 and moving onward. And I guess just to refresh for those of us that are here, verse number 1 in Romans chapter 11, we're going to read through the verses first and then we'll pray. So Romans chapter 11, verse 1, here's the argument that has been settled by God thousands of years ago, although some churches and denominations, not all but some, teach that God is done with the Jews, that the church has replaced the Jews, but that is not biblical, that is not correct, because look at verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. There's the answer from the Lord. Let's move on with life. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So who are the Israelites, according to Paul the Apostle and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the Israelites. Those are the Jews in your Bible. And physically, in the flesh, Paul the Apostle was a Jew. He says he was a Benjamite. So God hath not cast away his people, there you go, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, and he just gives us some Old Testament scripture when the prophet Elijah was contending with the people of Israel, God's people, because of their sin and rebellion against Almighty Jehovah. And he just gives us some quote in verse 4. But what is the Lord's response to Elijah praying against the Jews? He says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So now what does that present to the Christian here today? Because remember, Once we became Christians, our first birth and whoever we were from Daddy Adam, it doesn't matter, like I said, if you're black, white, green, anything in between, Mexican, American, European, that all ends at the cross. We are no longer Jews in the flesh, Gentiles in the flesh. We are Christians. That is our new name. We are a new creature. But because he's writing to Christians and he's given us some spiritual understanding as it pertains to God dealing with Israel, at this present time in verse 5, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So even though Israel as a whole, that is as a nation, this all this time they've been against God, they rejected Messiah, they've been in disobedience to the law that Moses gave them, there's always going to be a small remnant of Jews that are believers, that are faithful to God, and because of their worship, the Lord is going to reserve them, or preserve them, if you will, the remnant. And so now we fast forward, he gives us all these cool scriptures to consider, we already talked about that. But if we go down here to verse 17, he gives us this analogy of a tree, an olive tree, and branches of the olive tree. And we go down here to verse number, let's see here in verse number 17. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou, he's talking to the Gentile, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, that's the natural olive tree, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. So he's writing to Christians who are Gentiles. In other words, these are people in Rome. And obviously any one of us today who are not Jews by birth, we're physically just anybody else on the planet, the sons of Adam from wherever we came from. But he says once we get saved, we should not be high-minded or proud to say, well, look at the Jews. It looks like God's done with them. No. In verse 19, that will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, verse 20, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. So now the Christians, us today, remember, we're not Jews. We're no longer Gentiles. We're no longer identified by God the Father from our first birth, wherever that means and wherever you came from. We are Christians. But he's warning any one of us who wants to go back to that cultural ethnic pride to have some boasting. If we go now to verse number 24, for if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? You know, the Holy Spirit tells you as a Christian, but again, he's that your first birth as a Gentile, you and I were wild by nature. We were a wild olive tree, okay? He's just giving us some real simple analogies here. Again, we're not talking about the color of your skin or where you were physically born. You were just this wild olive tree growing out there by the provision of nature, by God's grace. And the good olive tree is Israel, okay? How much more shall these, the natural branches, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So they, the Jews, they can be grafted back into this tree. This is the picture that God is painting for us. But the only way that they're able to be grafted in is if they abide not still in unbelief. So if these Jews, at some point, whoever it could be right now, even at this moment, in the land of Israel or scattered throughout the earth, we're going to talk about that. If they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and they put their faith in him, trusting that he was their Messiah, God is able to graft them back in to their natural blessings of being his people and obviously ultimately receiving salvation through the Lord. But if they reject the gospel and they reject God until they die, they're going to be treated like a branch that's cut off. It's just going to continue to remain in its state until they die. Now, here we go. This is the interesting verses. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Remember the warning earlier. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. We'll talk about that. And so all Israel shall be saved. as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. I'm emphasizing those words for a reason, and we'll talk about them. And now let's go ahead and pray. So God, we thank you for the Bible. We pray today that you'd give us a spirit to concentrate, Lord, to be edified by your scripture, not tradition, not culture, not our feelings. And I just pray today, Lord, that no matter how folks came in here through these doors, that they'll leave that much more blessed and enlightened in the revelation and knowledge of you, God, your word, and what you promise to do for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. What do we say, church? Amen. Now let's go back to verse 23 quickly. The Bible says once again concerning Israel, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So in context, directionally, we are moving forward. The people of Israel is the focus, and what God has offered and is ready to fulfill on behalf of his people, if faith or belief in him is exercised, he is able to regraft them into the tree, because to be grafted back onto the tree means what? They are cut off from the tree, you understand? And you go down here to verse 24, for if thou, talking back to the Gentile, were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. So notice that. What does the Holy Spirit here acknowledge of the Gentile? This is not, we are contrary to that which is natural as it pertains to this olive tree. So here we have two trees painted for us. The first one, the natural olive tree. This is the one that God planted here for this particular purpose. And he said, this here olive tree, this is of Israel. You understand? But out there growing in these fields, if you will, there's some wild olive trees growing of their own accord. And he's going to take those branches and he's gonna cut them off and he's going to graft them in, which is against nature. So they're not going to bear fruit of their wild olives. He's going to graft them into this good olive tree and make them a part of this body. And we'll talk about that as we move forward. So then how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So us believers right now, Christians, even though we are Gentiles in the flesh, the Holy Ghost calls this a mystery, that is, the dealings with Israel, all the way from then and unto the second advent, for those of us who know, the second coming of Christ, God warns us Christians who were once Gentiles in the flesh, lest we should carry over into our new faith and life racial divisions or racial superiority and spiritual pride, which would lead us to be ignorant that God is not done with Israel, whom he foreknew. But here's the mystery defined. Let's go to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, notice that key word is in part, not whole, not full blindness. Jews can be saved. Jews have been saved. It's not the entirety. It's in part. It's happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. But come in where? Where are the Gentiles coming from, and where are they going to be grafted in? Well, if you go back to verse number 11, he talks about the Gentiles receiving salvation. You see, through the fall of Israel and everything that God purposed for them and planned to do through them, they rejected it. So now the Gentile is going to be offered, and God can now use anyone for his glorious purpose of the preaching of the kingdom of God. And now we are the vessel through whom he does that as the church. Now, what does that look like now, being grafted into what? The body. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 3. Hope you have your Bible. Let's go ahead and turn there together to build your spiritual muscle memory. Even though we have a projector, I'm going to provoke you to study that book so you can learn what that thing is. Amen. For those of y'all who know what radio station is what and what television program is what, y'all better know this book. Come on now. Ephesians chapter number 3. So we're going to talk about that mystery until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, into what? I'm going to tell you the body of Christ. That's my answer to that. And in regards to the different, we have two similar phrases in the New Testament that talk about the Gentiles. The first one is the times of the Gentiles, And the second one is what we're studying here, the fullness of the Gentiles. Those are two different things. So don't compare them just because the word Gentiles is there. The fullness of the Gentiles come in is into this salvation that which God offers through the body of his Son. Now verse 1, Ephesians 3. Here's what that Bible says. For this cause, I, Paul, he says here, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in few words. So now here's where Paul is heading. Paul became a Christian later in his life. He wasn't always a Christian. He was an Orthodox Jew. Remember that? He was a Jew. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. And when you study your Bible later on in the book of Philippians, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was hardcore for the Jewish sect of his faith. But then he got saved. And the Lord, therefore, entrusted him with a role in the New Testament church as an apostle. And now he's been given this great responsibility to make him known. But specifically, his target audience was the Gentiles. So then you're going to study in your Bible later in the book of Galatians, that Paul says that Peter, his main audience to go for was the Jews, and Paul's main audience was the Gentiles, but they both ministered unto both people groups throughout their life. So in the book of Acts, you'll see that as well. So now, God, verse 3, made known unto Paul this mystery, as he wrote afore in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The mystery of what? Of Christ. When we talk about the body of Christ, this is what we're talking about here. This mystery of Christ. Not Israel, not anything else here in this particular, the mystery of Christ, the Messiah, which in other ages, verse 5, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles, plural, and prophets, plural, by the Spirit. So what did Paul just say? This mystery of Christ, you're not going to necessarily find it just because you read the book of Genesis when Moses penned it, just because you read the book of Joshua when Joshua penned it, or Kings, Samuel, and whoever else you guys want to allude to, the whoever the writers were of the Old Testament writings. They did not understand this mystery of Christ, nor was it revealed to them. However, when they did prophesy of the coming Messiah, they wondered into those things which they were writing about. It wasn't until the New Testament church was founded upon Christ himself, number one, number two, then his apostles, that the Holy Spirit gave them that mystery fully to be made known unto them. Now, for my brethren out there, a part of the Christian body, doesn't matter if they're independent Baptists like us or not, this is not a Paul-only thing, as a lot of our brethren say. The Holy Spirit here says, this mystery was revealed unto his holy apostles, it's plural, and prophets by the Spirit. Now, what is this mystery? Verse 6, that the Gentiles, remember, who are the Gentiles? They are the sons of Adam. Anybody outside of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't care if you were born in China, Africa, Mexico, Europe, Asia, Australia, whatever the case. If you are not a physical blood descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are a Gentile. The mystery that's been hidden, revealed through the New Testament apostles and prophets, is that the Gentiles, that is the world essentially, everybody else, should be fellow heirs. In Romans 11, what was he talking about? There was a good olive tree. It was a natural tree. There was a purpose for this tree. And this tree was promised some things that no other tree was promised. This tree was given some things no other tree was promised. This was by nature a good tree. Everybody else was wild. So that, therefore, this mystery which has been revealed to the apostles and prophets of the New Testament church is that not just the Jews would be able to partake of this body, but the Gentiles. Everybody else on this planet could also be a partaker of this thing, of this heirship, and of the same body. Notice, that same body. And partakers of his promise. Are you ready now, church? in Christ by the gospel. Now, why is that important? Because the church is not Israel part two. The church is not replacement of Israel. The church is not a backup plan because God knew ahead of time the Jews would reject him. Therefore, no. Here's the plan. There was this mystery that God had eternally decreed. And in this plan, when he was talking to the Son, this is everything that he promised to the Son, that everybody could have an opportunity to partake in this relationship through Jesus, his Son. You say, what do you mean by that, brother? Let's keep reading. Whereof, so of that truth, Paul says, he was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Notice the fellowship now. With who? God, man, through who? Jesus Christ, the mediator, the Savior, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. So therefore, not just Old Testament now, not just Israelites, you know, an Old Testament prophet, for example, but as soon as the Lord came down here, he established the gospel. Remember, the church is built upon Christ, the cornerstone, the chief stone, and the apostles, etc., etc. The church, by their apostolic doctrine or revelation given to them, this wisdom, not even the principalities and powers in heaven knew that. In other words, the angelic world, it was unbeknownst to them. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit began to operate through the apostles and giving them the revelation that you and I call the New Testament epistles. Now this manifold wisdom of God is coming to fruition. Even the angels are like, whoa, that's what you're going to do, God? That's what you're going to do? Well, that's cool. You know, that's what the Bible tells us elsewhere. According to what? What did we say earlier? According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who's the he? God the Father. So until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in to what? The fellowship of the mystery, that they too should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So blindness is happened in part to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So what does that tell us, Christians? Right now, as I speak, you have Christians all over this planet preaching the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have people out there, Brother Lordson Rock out there in Goa, brethren in Africa, brethren in China, the underground church, unfortunately it's pretty bad out there, Mexico, you have people all over the United States, and we're out here telling everybody to repent and trust Jesus Christ because the wrath of God and so on and so forth. You understand? However they do it, Gentiles are getting saved. Gentiles are getting saved. Jew here, Jew there, praise the Lord. But right now the main focus is the building up of the Gentiles. When that last Gentile, according to this, however God views it up there, I don't know. That's just the mystery to me. Nobody knows who the last Gentile is. It could be led by you. I don't know. You could be out there one day, and you lead somebody to Christ, and before you know it, we all disappear, because that's it right there. Like, that was the last Gentile that needed to be saved, and we all get raptured out of here. I don't know. I'm not going to dogmatically speak on something I don't know, but what I do know is this. Until that last Gentile is made a fellow heir of the body of Christ and a partaker of the promise, there's going to be blindness in part given to Israel. Now let's go back to what we're talking about here in regards to the revelation. Why is this a big deal concerning Christ? Because he says here that this promise is in Christ. The fellowship of this mystery in verse 9 was hid in God, And he says here, according to the eternal purpose which he promised in Christ Jesus our Lord. God the Father brings about all this to pass through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the eternal focus of all the revelation that God has given to men on the earth. You know what the Holy Spirit said about the testimony of the prophecy of the Bible in Revelation 19, verse number 10? He said here in Revelation 19, 10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know what else the Holy Spirit said about this prophecy concerning Christ in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21? Here's what he said. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So what does that tell us? The prophecy did not come in old time by the will of Samuel, the will of Ezekiel, the will of Isaiah, nor did it come by the will of Paul, or the will of John or Jude. All this revelation that God the Father had purposed in Christ, the Holy Spirit, if you will, is the one who is delivering or dispensing these truths to those whom God the Father has decided to whom to give it to. All this is concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate center focus view of the Father. And this was all spoken of before time by the Holy Spirit. But remember, these are holy truths. This is because they're given by a holy God. And if we don't want to become ignorant, Christian, if you go back to Romans 11, that's our base text, so just keep your flyer there. If we don't want to become ignorant of these truths concerning how God is going to deal with Israel, then we need to study his word. It sounds fair to me, right? We need to continue to trust his word and say, well, Lord, where do I fit in all this? Now, for the remaining part of this sermon, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the blindness in part. We're going to talk about until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We already covered that, Ephesians 3. But now let's focus on verse 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, that's the word, remember the revelation in the Old Testament, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. You say, Brother Carlos, what does that mean? My sins and your sins, for those of us right now, were placed on Christ. When you became a born-again Christian, and as soon as you heard the gospel and you put your faith in him, all of your sins were wiped away. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you, and therefore the wrath from the Father that he had against you is gone, eternally wiped away. He has forgotten that, if you will. That's crazy about the knowledge of God. He can choose to forget. That's amazing. Now, at the same token, though, look at who he's talking about. He's not talking about the world as a whole. He's not talking about the church, but he's talking about one small people group on this planet. He's talking about Israel. There's going to come a time in which, according to their scriptures, all the prophecies concerning this deliverer, he's going to come, but he's going to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. So what does that tell me? According to scripture, as a whole, the nation of Israel's sins still remain. During the tribulation time, we're going to talk about that, there's going to be the remnant, that small little part that's going to be saved. He is going to do some crazy things to Israel to purify them, refine them through finer, if you will, because now he's going to remember his covenant, and he's going to finish what he started to take away their sins specifically, that is, the Israelites. So right now, let me tell you, when is the best time to be saved? It's the best time to be saved is right now. We go out there right now. We want people to be saved because, boy, I tell you, if you read that book of Revelation, it's going to be almost physically impossible to make it through. We're talking about hailstones that weigh over 200 pounds coming down as judgment. We're talking about the waters being poisoned. We're talking about a third of humanity's population on the earth being killed by God's wrath. And so when you consider now all those things, when you consider the truth or how to be saved. Man, right now is the best time. Don't worry about that later. You better get saved right now, boy, because this wrath of God is coming to a sit in you. Now, let's focus in on this last two verses here, 26 and 27. Israel to be saved soon. Eventually, the Lord will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, specifically. And this is his covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Their sins. We're going to talk about this and praise the Lord for Bible school, because this is all fresh in my mind as we're as we are discussing prophecy, and this is what we're talking about here. Let's go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles there together. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and let's go down here to verse number 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 32. These are just some basic Bible doctrines to remind us this afternoon as to how to properly identify and distinguish these people groups, because once you do, then everything else will make sense. Everything else will fall right into its place when you understand the Bible difference between the three groups that God divides humanity into. In verse number 32, here's what that Holy Spirit tells us. Give none offense, neither to the Jews. That's the first people group being identified by God. We know that. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's descendants. Number two, nor to the Gentiles. That's everybody else, all other sons of Adam. Thirdly, nor to the church of God. That's the Christian. The Jew who got saved, no longer a Jew in the eyes of God, Christian. The Gentile that got saved, no longer a Gentile in the eyes of God, Christian. But here are three main people groups that God divides humanity into, and if you will, segregates humanity into. And the reason I use that word is because when we get to the end of that book of Revelation, he is going to separate Israel from all the other nations. He is going to do that for a reason, because he promised to do that from the Old Testament. All the other nations are not going to partake of Israel's specific blessings to inherit a part of the land. We talk about that, the promised land given to Abraham. No other Gentile has promised that property. I don't give a dang how much the Palestinians want it. The Germans wanted it. The Catholics wanted it. Protestants. Nobody else on this planet has a right to that piece of property over there in Israel except for the Jews. So that's why we say when God divides humanity, eventually he's going to do that when he reinstates them as the head. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to cover the salvation of the remnant of the Jews that make it through the tribulation, because that's where their salvation is going to take place. We're going to talk about who is going to get saved of Israel, and we're going to talk about the prophetical warnings God gave the Jews concerning that, when Christ will fulfill what that scripture says, that the deliverer will come to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So in other words, this is going to be God dealing with specifically the Jews, no other people group, if you will, for that particular part in time. When we talk about the tribulation, we know that God is going to be judging the planet. We know a lot of fools are going to be partakers of judgments, but this has specifically to do with Israel. Everybody else is just going to go along for the show. People can still be saved after the church is gone, but it's going to be real hard. So we'll talk about that. Now let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. For those of you who know, we are on our Bible train, and this is going to be our next stop for today before we close. Luke chapter number 21. We're going to talk about quickly here the Lord Jesus Christ's prophecy concerning the future destruction of Israel's temple. And the overall theme here is Israel's second wilderness trip, as again by my Bible school teacher and current class I'm taking. This is pretty awesome. We're talking about the same thing I'm learning right now, so it's all fresh in my head. But a lot of my information is going to be coming from the book of Revelation, commentary by Brother James W. Knox. Phenomenal Bible truths in here, by the way. I highly recommend. All right, Luke 21, verse 5 through number 7. Here's what that Bible says. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, talking about Jesus, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So what does he just quickly allude to? The destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Give or take, people say that happened around AD 70, by the Romans. I forgot what emperor it was. I can't think about it now, but it happened. So Jesus' word did come to pass. The temple was destroyed. Let's go down to verse number 20. Luke 21, verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. So before we move any forward, what is clear from the text? This is the first step in Bible interpretation for all my students out there. Interpret it literally as it is before you want to bring into what you think he's saying. So what is the Lord saying? People that are in Judea, when this is going down, run, fool! Flee to the mountains. That's Brother Carlos, by the way. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Get out of it. If you're in the downtown Jerusalem hanging out at a little coffee shop, you better run. Let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. So when you see all this going down, if you're from another part of the world and you're out there just in the neighborhood, you better not go into Jerusalem. You better run as well. For these be the days of vengeance. See how the Lord talks about this time frame? This is the time of vengeance, he says. That all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now we talk about prophecy concerning who? Israel. That's why you got to study this book. You got to learn how to rightly divide it, or else your denomination may tell you, oh, this is for the Christian. Oh, this is for me. No, it's not talking about you. It's talking about Israel. Verse number 23. He says here, but woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land. Which part? Go back here. Judea, verse 21, Israel. And let's see what he says here. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. You know what the Lord said? Not only is this temple going to be destroyed, not only is this going to happen, but he jumps forward thousands of years to the tribulation time frame, and he says there is going to be wrath upon Israel. This people. How about that? Now, here is a similar parallel to a lot of other Christian brethren. They already know the parallel passage, if you will, that is sometimes used to allude to what he's talking about here in Luke 21, and that's Matthew chapter 24. But here, we have to remind ourselves of the times of the Gentiles. Let's go to verse 24. They shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be laid away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Notice there. So what is the Lord Jesus? He's going forward in time. He'll talk about a specific time, end time of the future, and then he'll go back. So that's why this Bible study is so good. I'm telling you, man, you can be lost in this here book. So let's just quickly talk about that. The Jews in the land are going to fall by the edge of the sword. They're going to be killed. Okay, a lot of them are. And I'll give you the specific number in a couple of minutes. But while we get there, here's what's going to happen to the Jews. Their temple is going to be destroyed. We talked about that earlier. And from that time unto this time, they're going to be led away captive into all nations. So the Jews are going to be scattered as a judgment of God into all parts of the earth. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Since then, Jews have not taken full ownership of that dirt. And by the way, even though people say, oh, prophecy, the Jews, 1968 and 1948, they're not doing that of their own accord without the Gentiles giving them the thumbs up. Gentiles are still politically involved into the Jews' prosperity. The reason we say that is because Jesus, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So then that's where I said earlier, you can't confuse the times of the Gentiles with the fullness of the Gentiles, because this has to do with the political power control of the land, Gentiles having the political power superiority over the Jews until this happens. You understand? This is unique when compared to God gathering back all Jews into the land to judge them and then separate the remnant that believe in him. We're going to talk about that. Verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, why is that powerful? Because Jesus just went forward to the tribulation time frame right before his second advent. While men are enduring and going through that tribulation, all these things are going to take place prior to his second advent. So we go back to verse 24. All this is happening past tense, then at the time, present. This is referring to the dispersion of the Jews into all the world. So why are we currently in the times of the Gentiles? Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 50 in our next Bible stop. Isaiah chapter number 50. Again, church, who are we talking about mainly in context? Israel. Who are we not talking about? The Christians, per se. This all has to do with what was written concerning them. And God is going to deal with them physically because this is how he has so decided to deal with this people. That's why it's good to be a Christian, boy. It's good to be saved, so you don't have to endure wrath of God on a physical scale like that of the Jews in the tribulation time frame. Why are we in the times of the Gentiles? Because currently, he's put them off, that is Israel, in that he's declared divorcement. Verse 1, thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Notice, the Lord said he's put him away. Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities, he's talking to the Jews, have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened to at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering, and so on and so forth. So what do we see here? We are in the times of the Gentiles because currently he's put Israel off. This is where he's declared divorcement from them. God's been so long suffering towards them, but put them away as a result of their continual rejection of him. Not permanently, though, but temporarily. Why? Because he's going to purify them by removing the unfaithful Jew after he judges them through the great tribulation. He will reestablish them as a nation. Meanwhile, he's dealing with the Gentile. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 66. Isaiah chapter number 66. I'm going to give you as much scripture, and I hope you guys stay hungry, and you guys keep coming, because this is some good stuff. Y'all got to understand this in these last days, especially when every church has a wind of doctrine on how to approach this stuff. Isaiah 66, here's the future of Israel concerning them. That's why they've been put off temporarily, not permanently. Isaiah 66 and verse number 5. Hear the word of the Lord. Ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You know, the Lord prophesied concerning Israel as a whole to come one day. The future of Israel shall be born again in one day. That is, nationally. This can happen at once. But with all the other scriptures that we've taken in consideration, that's going to happen after he takes them through the time of vengeance, his wrath, purifying the Jews, the remnant that make it through, these are going to be the collective representatives of Israel as a whole, that all of them are going to be preserved through, and they're all going to be born again. In a moment, the Lord is going to give them a new heart. Praise the Lord. Now, he still acknowledges Israel as his people via Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he does not recognize them as a nation yet, because that hasn't happened. That's why we're telling you the times of the Gentiles, these Jews, all my prophecy, charismatic, Pentecostal brethren prophesying, oh, Israel, 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 they're foolish. They don't know what they're talking about. It's not until he acknowledged them from that verse and other scriptures that they're going to have the political power without removal. But right now, they are under the direct political and power control of who? The Gentiles. 1968, a lot of my folks, oh, look at prophecy, prophecy. The Jews returned to the land. The Gentiles established them. Currently, all Jews live elsewhere. Remember, they've been scattered. When the Bible is to be literally believed and taken true, remember, he promised to draw them back. He's not just going to draw some Jews. The Bible says he's going to bring them all back into that land. So where do you see Jews living? New York, Oceanside, Mexico, somewhere else in the world. That hasn't happened yet. That's why when I hear all my charismatic brethren, oh, they're being drawn. They're not going to be taken back there voluntarily, but they're going to be brought there back by God's wrath. I'm telling you, boys, so keep paying attention. At some point, he's going to bring them back. Let's go ahead and read here in the book of Psalm 107 before we close. I'll give you a couple more scriptures. Some of you guys are like, man, this is some good stuff. That Bible's good. Not a lot of it has to do with you. Praise the Lord. It has to do with God dealing with his people. Psalm 107, and then we'll go to Ezekiel chapter 20. How many of you guys are hungry for that Bible? How many of you guys are sleeping because of the pie? Okay. Psalm 107, verse number 1. Here's what that Bible says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. He does. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. How about that? They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Who's going to be saying this? Those that have been redeemed from all parts of the earth in verse number 3. Ezekiel chapter 20. Sorry, Ezekiel chapter 20. Let's go down here to verse number 33. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse number 33. Here's what that Bible says. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm, are you ready, church? And with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people. Now, who do you think the people is referring to there? The Gentiles. And will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with plane tickets of your own accord. And with the help of the Pentecostal charismatic movement. No. And with fury poured out. If only my charismatic brethren would trust the Bible and tell the church the truth that these Jews are not going back because of supernatural visions of Jesus appearing to them in dreams. The biblical reason the Jews are going to go back and be drawn from where they've been scattered is because of God's fury. And that wrath of God is kindled to be poured out upon them once he gets them all back into that land of Judea. Right now, they're still scattered. We don't care about the arguments from all my Baptist brethren. Who are the true Jews? Who are the true Jews? And no, those black Hebrew Israelites, they're not Jews. They're just Gentiles trying to be Jews. That's not a big problem for me. I know my Bible. But he's going to be the one to bring them back because he's the one that scattered them. So when people say, well, of their own accord, oh, you have the Ethiopian Jews and you got these European, you know, all those, how they, you're going to hear all those rabbit trails. Listen to what the Lord said through Ezekiel versus what the Pentecostal preacher said. Listen to the real prophet compared to the fake prophets of today to tell you the only way that them Jews are going to be going back to their land is because there's an angry God in heaven who's going to be pouring out some fury and wrath upon them. You with me, church? Go down a couple of verses. I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels. Who are the rebels? Them are the unbelieving Jews. Them Jews that are rebellious, the Jews that don't really care, the unsincere Jew that Paul acknowledged in Romans chapter 2, the unsincere Jew that Jesus Christ, God, manifest in the flesh, acknowledged in John chapter 8 and John 5. Remember what the Lord said? I know you're Abraham's seed, but you are of the devil and you're going to do the lust of your father. You guys remember him talking to the Jews? He's going to get them rebels out of there. And them that transgress against me. This is God dealing with his people on an individual basis. Collectively, Israel is going to be gathered, but every single one of them Jews he's going to deal with personally. What did he say? Face to face. That's what he said, right? I will bring them forth out of the country wherein they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now you say, well, when is that going to happen? When they recognize this is the Lord's doing. Now I'm going to close with this statement. Some of you guys are like, man, this is good. But just, I'm going to leave you with this. One more, and we'll close. Chapter 36. Let's go to Ezekiel, chapter 36, and we'll close with this last chapter in the notes. Concerning Israel, they shall be saved, but that deliverer needs to come. And he needs to turn away in godliness from Jacob. And this is how he said he's going to do it. This is how he said he's going to do it. Ezekiel 36, and we'll just quickly read from the finishing notes here to consider verses 24 through 29. Ezekiel chapter number 36. Let's go ahead and read from verse 22. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen. Who were the heathen again? The Gentiles. Whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Verse 24, for I will take you from among the heathen, just like he said in Ezekiel 20, and gather you out of all countries, Psalm 103, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. So now, Romans 11, what did he say? The deliverer out of Zion, he's going to turn away ungodliness from Jacob when he shall take away their sins, because he's dealing with Israel, not the church, not the world. Right there, he's talking about them because they're still filthy right now. They're still filled with idolatry right now. And when that happens, verse 26, in the future, notice the context, church. Before you listen to your favorite charismatic preacher online or Pentecostal tradition, notice the context of this verse that's highly taken out of context from our brethren. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh and will give you an heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land. This is not God telling the Gentile, because the Christian who gets charismatic and Pentecostal, I'm going to give you that new heart of flesh, I'm going to take that stone. No, no, no. He's talking to the Jew that gets sanctified by his power through the tribulation, that remnant that makes it through, he's going to supernaturally cause them to be born again in one day, Isaiah 66, this whole nation. This is when this scripture is fulfilled, not right now. And look at what he says. When he gathers them causes them to be born again. They're going to dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. So what are we talking about? The time of Jacob's trouble. We're talking about the time when God will gather his people from all their scatterings from around the world. The Lord did that, by the way. And when the Lord's going to bring them back. But contrary to churches today teaching that these Jews are going to be going back, you know, out of their own accord or peacefully, according to God, he said that he's going to do it because of his fury and of his anger. Now, whether that means that when this happens in the tribulation, I'll just leave you with this, the Gentiles are going to collectively come up with policy, just like Hitler. I'm just giving you an example. Jews, you can't live here. You know, you got to go back. We don't know how the method is going to come out, but we know who's the one that's going to be causing it in the hearts of men. However he draws them back, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be out of anger. But why? Because he's going to sanctify his name, whom they've made bad. In the midst of all the world, the Jews failed to represent God, and now he's going to handle it, and all the world's going to be like, man, look at the God of Israel, look at what he's doing, until he cleanses them from all their filthiness. Look at what he said there. He is going to take away all this. That's Romans 11. Are we there yet? No. Are we getting there? Yes. What should the Christian be focused doing? Not so much politically worried about Israel. Not so much worried about having to go take a visit to land and all this. We as Christians should be focused on preaching the gospel right now to get as many souls saved, because when he starts pouring out wrath, boy, it's going to be hardcore. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that are very clear in your scripture. And we thank you for the things that are very hard to be believed and understood from your scripture. Because ultimately, Lord, this is for your name's sake, not a church, not a people group, not a nation. This is so that your name may be honored and recognized as true in the midst of all the world, Lord. And we believe that. But thankfully, Lord, we at this time, I believe many of us are saved here today. And if there's nobody that's clear or sure of their salvation, we thank you, God, that you've made it very clear that if anybody puts their faith and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, right now, and they acknowledge him as Lord and receive them into their heart, that they will be saved. We thank you, God, that all our sins are placed on him. And all our sins can be forgiven. We thank you that we don't have to go through tribulation or anything like this just so you can cleanse our heart. But Lord, you already did when we became a Christian, Lord. So now my prayer is that your Holy Spirit will continue to cleanse us. Help us. Help us to keep power over the old man or over the old woman. Help us to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, so we can be glorifying you and representing you as you want us to, in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. All right, church, the Lord bless you. We look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you for tuning in. For those of you that are watching online, we pray and hope that you were edified by today's message. The Lord bless.